Welcome, welcome, welcome to Bootstrap Businessman, the podcast focused on developing the entrepreneur within and on a shoestring budget. And I'm your host, the number one best-selling fitness author, Dale L. Roberts. And I am joined, hopefully, by my co-host, the Midwest best, Kevin S. Allen. Today, we have a very special guest, and I'll get to that in just a moment. Boy, I'm telling you what, life don't work out the way you expect it sometimes. Man, there's issues abound with Blog Talk Radio. And we're trying to get those things all hammered out. I'm going to see if I can get Kevin patched in right now. Kevin, are you on the line? Please tell me you're on the line because I will weep like a baby if you aren't. And I'm not hearing you. Good Lord, it's time for me to start weeping here. Let's try this again. Kevin, are you on the line? Buddy, you're going to have to try to patch in some other way.
Hey.
Oh, there we go.
Here I am.
Dude, what the heck, man? So I guess there's good reason why we're going to be leaving Blog Talk Radio sometime soon.
Yes, sir. We're about ready to start flipping tables here tonight.
Absolutely. We do have Ellie on hold right now. I haven't had a chance to talk to her. Unfortunately, she doesn't know the extent of our technology issues at this point, so hopefully she won't have to learn that. I'm definitely excited. But before we do, we got to pay some bills. So, Kevin, take it away.
Hey, guys, everybody listening tonight? Hopefully everybody's listening. You know,
I hope so.
For real, man. Hey, if not, they'll be able to listen to it on SoundCloud and Stitcher and iTunes, so we're good.
Plug.
No big deal, guys. Hey, you know, we do appreciate everybody listening and all the support that we get. There is a little bit of a cost, you know, for overhead and stuff for us to continue to do this show. So one of the things that we've done is we've provided you for a link in our show notes. Basically, it's just Amazon.com. We know you shop there. So if you could, just take that link, bookmark it in your browser. Every time you go to Amazon, just use that. And when you make a purchase, a small percentage comes back to us from Amazon. Doesn't cost you anymore, but it just helps us pay the bills. Pay the bills.
Yep. And normally I would say click the follow button on Blog Talk Radio. You could still click the follow button. Here's the news, guys. We'll probably go into this a little bit more after we're done talking with our guest today. But essentially, today is going to be our last time on Blog Talk Radio. We're actually going to be migrating our stuff over to SoundCloud. We've had better results that way. We've had less technology issues that way. So if you can't go over to SoundCloud, look up Bootstrap Businessman, or you can even go to iTunes or Stitcher, and we'll actually have a lot of those things. Now, the only thing is you're not going to get these live podcasts like they are right now. They'll be live, and they're going to be unedited like normal, but you won't be able to hear them absolutely live. We'll actually have those uploaded, what, every Wednesday and Sunday, right, Kevin?
Yes, sir, Wednesday and Sunday. They'll be available basically by 8 p.m., so...
Yes. So, please, if you guys can, you're going to want to, instead of going to blogtalkradio.com, you're actually going to be going to show.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. Once again, that's show.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. My friend Kevin, boy, you really hooked this up today, man. I can't tell you how excited I am. As soon as you sent me the memo on who our guest was and what she does, I'm thrilled. So I'm not going to dominate things. I want to make sure that you and I have equal question time. So could you do me a favor and introduce our guest today?
Hopefully I don't butcher her last name. But her first name is Ellie, last name Burskow. And basically, folks, what she does is she is a mentor to – fitness and coaches in the fitness and training arena. So, Ellie, are you on?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can.
Man, I can't tell you how excited I am to hear your voice, and it's not like in a perverted, weird way. It's the fact that like the technology issues literally have me like at odds right now.
Well,
awesome. Yes. Thank you for joining us. I know you were a bit jet lagged or something yesterday. I take it you were traveling then.
Yeah, I was jet lagged last week. I'm good now. I was in Hawaii for 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness! I am so completely jealous right now because I'm in Ohio, and it is literally 32 degrees outside, and we're expecting snow. So.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, just a little bit jealous. So, you know, we don't want to dominate too much of this conversation, but Ellie, we would like it if you would just kind of tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, sure. So, like you said, I'm a coach for personal trainers and coaches. So I help them to grow their business, but do it in a way that creates an awesome lifestyle so they actually don't burn themselves out and have time to be able to do whatever they want in life. And do it in a way where I help them overcome their mindset blocks and limiting beliefs and things that are holding them back so that they can let go of that and get fast results, much faster than they ever thought possible.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So, you know, as far as, you know, creating the results and stuff faster, I mean, what do you mean by that? What are you helping them? You know, we're trying to kind of dissect this apart a little bit just so the readers have a better understanding
yeah.
of what you do.
Yeah, yeah, readers. Sure. So basically, I know that strategy obviously works, but strategy is only like a small percentage of business success. So what I believe is that your mindset, so your thoughts and your beliefs plus the strategy equals the results. So you've got to get yourself in a good headspace and overcome the stuff that's holding you back to then be able to get the results that you want in business. And what I've found is business is such a huge personal development journey. When you're trying to make sales, when you're trying to bring clients on, when you're trying to have opportunities come your way, if you're living in fear or you've got stuff that's holding you back from your past or not feeling like you're good enough or whatever it may be, everyone's got something. If you stay stuck in that, then you actually push opportunities away and you push money away and you push clients away. And so when you work on your stuff, which is what I've done a lot, I've spent about $150,000 over the last 5 years since I've been in business on my own personal development and on different courses and coaches. And I wouldn't be where I am today without doing that, not just business-wise, but personally. I wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't have done that work on myself.
Wow, that's tremendous. I got a question here for you. Before I start to dissect more of your business and such, what got you into it? What exactly? Because you know, I started out as a personal trainer a number of years ago. So I'm kind of wondering, was that kind of the same path that you had before? Or what was it like?
Yeah, definitely. So I actually, before I started my first business, I worked in call centers for 5 years. So I was doing sales and marketing stuff for other people, basically, which gave me good skills when I started my first business. And then I ended up falling pregnant, and I put on quite a bit of weight. So I put on 20 kilos. I don't know what that is in pounds, maybe 45 pounds, I think. Yeah, 45 pounds, yeah. And I wanted to be able, after I had my daughter, I wanted to be able to lose that weight and lose it as quickly as possible, but in a healthy way. And I looked around out there for mum's kind of boot camps, but where the kids were looked after so that I could have some time out for myself as well. And I just couldn't find it out there. So I was also studying to be a personal trainer at the time. And during that journey, whilst I was studying and after I'd had my daughter, I ended up losing, let me convert it to pounds. I lost 29 kilos in 7 months, which is 64 pounds in 7 months I lost. And I actually found it quite easy to do that at the time. And I wanted to be able to help other mums to do the same thing. So my first week out of PT college, personal training college, I ended up starting my first business, and that was Power Mums, which was mums boot camp with babysitting included. Which really was based off the journey that I'd been on, but also finding a gap in the market. And I ended up growing that business to 100K in the first year and 200K in under 2 years. And in my second year is when I started coaching personal trainers and coaches because of the success that I'd had in my business.
That is extraordinary. I want to congratulate you, first of all, on the weight loss that you did. Whether in kilos and pounds, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's quite a bit. And for you to say that was easy, there's probably a lot of people out there going, yeah, it's easy for her. But, you know, that's, that That was really, really awesome. And then on top of that, you created a business that went up to six figures within the first year. Did I hear you right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's nothing to sneeze at. Kevin,
no.
I know you got some kind of comment there.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the first couple years, you know, obviously, I mean, tremendous success. Definitely congratulations. And if I'm correct in saying this, you started, or from what I'm hearing, you started this from ground zero with, very little investment?
Yeah, totally. I had no money. I was, you know, some people say they have no money, but they have, like, pay TV and two cars and all this stuff. And I literally, before I started my first business, I was living off the government, off $500 a week. And so and that's 500 Aussie dollars, by the way. And I basically, my partner couldn't work because he was on a tourist visa, so he wasn't allowed to work. And I couldn't work because I just had my daughter. That's 380 US, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And so we couldn't afford a car. We couldn't even afford public transport. I had to walk and run and cycle to get to my course, my college when I was studying. $300 a week went to rent. So we only lived off $50 a week food. We couldn't afford meat. We had to be pretty much vegetarian. We could afford maybe some cheap mince every once in a while. We literally had nothing. We had to get everything for the house and for our daughter for free off Freecycle and Gumtree, which is like Craigslist. We were really struggling. And I remember one day sitting in my living room in my flat, and we got a letter from immigration saying that my partner's visa had been declined. And so I remember crying, and then I remember deciding at that moment, I can either think, why me? Why does all this bad stuff keep happening to me? Or I can decide to turn my life around and create a better life and lifestyle for myself and my family. And so I obviously chose the second option, and that was my motivation to be successful in business and to work my ass off to create success very quickly.
Wow. That definitely explains a lot, especially with the fact that you went to six figures and such. So if you don't mind me asking, how many hours were you working per day, or for that matter per week, to get yourself to that level that first year?
Yeah, I never worked crazy PT hours, actually.
Really?
Most personal trainers are working from early mornings to late nights. I never did that because my target market was mums, so I didn't have to. I grew the business to $1,000 a week just filling up three boot camps a week. And so I had a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 in the morning, and I filled them up. And that's where most of my money came from. The rest of the time I spent working on the business instead of in it, and that's how I made money quicker, because I was focusing on the marketing and the sales rather than filling my days with back-to-back sessions.
Wow.
Nice. Work harder than harder. Yeah, that was really brilliant. I think there's a lot of personal trainers, if they're listening right now, you guys don't have to kill yourselves. You don't have to do it. I can think of so many times, Ellie, when I was starting out in the business, I thought I had to work 12 to 16 hour days in order to make a good living. But then when I realized, I'm like, wait, hang on. If I condense my time and I get my clients to work around me, I can actually make more. And it was tremendous. Then all I had to do was work days. I 6 to 2 back-to-back appointments, and I loved it. 2 o'clock, I was done. I was out the door, and I enjoyed the rest of my day. And I just love the way the schedule worked like that.
Totally. And I think, you know, society and a lot of entrepreneurs plus society for so many years has told us you have to work hard and you have to hustle to be able to be successful. And it's just not true. I think in the beginning, there's different stages in business. And in the beginning, you do probably have to work a bit more to get your name out there because no one knows who you are. But I found at this stage that I'm in my business now, the less I work, the more money I make. And it's because when you're burnt out, you push opportunities and money and clients away because you're in survival mode and you literally can't take anything more on energetically. And so when you give back to yourself, when you have energy And when you give yourself deadlines and get things done in a shorter period of time and focus on the priorities, then you're going to make more money.
Nice. Wow. Yeah, that's so well put.
Yeah, and it definitely, it honestly makes a lot of sense listening to that. You know, and I love the fact that you found a niche and, you know, just exploded on that. So basically what you did, if I'm hearing correctly, I just kind of want to break this down a little bit. You brought other trainers on board then. You had to have, correct?
Yeah. So with the bootcamp business, once I got to a certain stage, then I brought trainers on. I had different locations as well. So I had four different locations. I had the babysitters working for me, I had trainers working for me, and I had an admin assistant as well. At one stage, I had 10 people working for me in four locations as well. I wouldn't recommend doing that. I was paying over $1,000 a week in wages, and it was a big hit to me every single week. And just having to manage all these different people and different locations. What I would recommend is just filling up one location and filling up all the sessions that you have, or if you're a coach, filling up whatever you're doing, your program, just focusing on one thing at a time, making that full, making sure it's automated and you've got systems in place to be able to scale it, and then bringing team on to be able to help you. But you don't need to have a million people working for you, and you don't need to have a million different locations or lots of different offerings or programs. Just keep it simple. So many people overcomplicate everything, and it's just about having that focus and just doing one thing at a time and then adding onto there once that's got systems in place and running smoothly. I ran two businesses for so long, the coaching business and the fitness business, up until last year, and it was too much. I was doing content, marketing, sales, clients, all this stuff for two businesses, and I wasn't reaching my full potential. And since I stopped running the fitness business, I've 7 times my business income in the last year. So just having focus makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and basically what I'm hearing too, and correct me if I'm wrong, basically what you're doing is you're kind of pulling your ego out of it, saying, hey, I don't have to control all of this. You know,
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
have you sold a business, or are you still running
both? So, yeah, Power Mums, the first business, I ended up selling that after 2 years. It got to the stage where in the second year of business, I was pregnant with my second child, and I was very, very sick. I was in and out of hospital, probably because I was stressing myself out doing too much. So because of that, but also because I had some amazing clients, but I also had some clients who were just stressing me out. They weren't the right fit. And I also had trainers stealing clients from me, and lots of different stress things going on. Yeah, so I ended up just closing the window because there's a car that went past the loud spot. So when it got to that stage, I just found I had grown and I wasn't with the right people anymore. And because of all the stress. So I ended up selling that business actually to one of the trainers who was working for me at the time, who had shown some interest. And then I was still doing coaching and still doing fitness stuff after I had my child after that. But I ended up getting rid of the fitness business totally last year. I didn't sell it. I just kind of over time got to the stage where I took myself away from it more and more and just didn't take any new clients on. I still have one fitness client who I do powerlifting training with her because I compete in powerlifting. And she just comes to my house, trains in my garage. It's just super easy and fun. Other than that, my sole focus is on my business coaching now.
That's nice. Excellent. You tapped on something that actually it's kind of a nerve. You hit a nerve, and hopefully I'm not putting you on the spot, but you know, I discovered when I was working as a personal trainer, there were other personal trainers that I either A, had worked with prior, or B, were currently working with that would, you know, filch my clients. So how do you handle that? What is it that you do? Do you fight back on them? Do you take them to court? How do you handle that?
Yeah, so I did have contracts in place where they weren't allowed to take clients, but some of them still did. And so I think cover yourself in that way just to be safe. But, you know, it comes to the stage where I felt it just wasn't worth taking them to court. It wasn't worth my time, my energy, my money to do that. My money and time and energy is better spent on moving forwards rather than living in the past. And I find it's better to be going out and making more money and being surrounded by people who do want my help than wasting money on things like that. And the thing that I found as well is that when I was desperate to hire someone, when I was just like I needed someone and I needed them right then and there, that's when I would hire the wrong people. So I think it's really important to plan ahead and to not get to that desperate stage so that you can hire the right person to try and minimize that. But, you know, sometimes things still happen where you think you're a good judge of character and you bring someone on and then they go and betray that trust, or they turn out to be someone you thought they weren't. And it's the whole thing about hiring slow, firing fast. So when you find out that someone isn't a good fit, getting rid of them and, just not being in that desperate place where you feel like you need them.
Your vetting process, Ellie? So when you're looking to bring somebody on board your team, obviously you knew that there was a certain point that you could bring somebody on because you probably had the discretionary expenses as well as, you know, the clientele. How did you interview somebody and how did you know they were a good fit for your company?
Yeah, so with the personal trainers, I would go through a few kind of stage process. Where I'd put an ad up on Gumtree or online somewhere, and they would have to send me through like their resume and their qualifications and that kind of thing. Then I'd get on the phone with them. I'd do a phone interview. If they got through that stage, I'd meet with them face to face. And face to face, they would actually run a session, so I could see how they ran a session and see that they had confidence in doing that as well. And then I'd sit down with them and have a face-to-face conversation afterwards. And from there, I would then give them a phone call to let them know if they were, if they'd passed, basically. I do a similar thing for assistants as well. Like I have an assistant that works 15 hours a week for me at the moment. And we did a phone interview and then met up face-to-face. She did a bit of a trial and talked about her qualifications and that kind of thing. And also just kind of going with the experience they have. But even more than that, it's not just about the experience, but it's about getting that feeling from them that they're a good fit and you can get along on a personality level as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to hire any Tom, Dick, or Harry off the street, especially if they don't mesh well with your personality, right?
Totally. And I found that with my last assistant, the one before, the one I have now. I thought she was great in the beginning. But over time, I found that she wanted me to save her. And that's a hard thing being a coach sometimes. Mm-hmm. People get drawn to you because they need your help. And she wasn't someone that I needed to help. She was supposed to be working for me. And so I found over time that she had a real victim mentality. I was trying to help her, and she just didn't want to do the work. And so I probably took a bit longer than I should have in letting her go. But it got to the stage where it was like, no, I can't do this anymore. And I found my new assistant, and I made sure I looked inside myself to see what I was doing to attract people like that as well. Because I've got a mindset coach, and he said to me, look, you've had this with a few assistants now, and the common denominator is you. And it's like, oh, crap. It's like, okay, you've got to look within yourself. And that's hard. Most people don't want to do that work on themselves. And so I looked within myself, and I realized that I was trying to be a friend to these people, and I was trying to be too friendly, and I wasn't being the leader that I needed to be. Whereas with my new assistant, I've set boundaries and rules in place right from the start. We get along as like on a friendly kind of level, but I don't tell her all my personal stuff, and we don't sit there chatting when we're supposed to be working. And I really stepped up into the leader that I need to be able to help her grow within my business as well.
Wow. Yeah, no, that is a very good point. You know, being friendly but not friends kind of situation, you know, that's some good advice. And it is the hardest thing to do is take a look at yourself. That is the hardest thing in the world to do, and my hat's off to you that you were able to do that. Because, you know, when somebody points the finger and says, it's you, you get defensive. You, right? Were you a little bit like, no, you're wrong, this is not me.
Yeah, it's hard. I've done a lot of work on myself, like I said, over the last 5 years, and I find it a lot easier to be self-reflective now because I have done that work on myself, and I'm also qualified in NLP and hypnotherapy, and I use that. I do mindset work for my clients, but I continually do it on myself, and I'm able to look at things that are going on in my life, whether business or personal, and think, okay, well, I've attracted this, and why have I attracted this, and what do I need to overcome myself to be able to move forward and become a better person?
Wow, that's impressive.
Oh,
I don't know what happened there. So let me ask you this. With doing all this work on yourself, having a mind, basically a mindset coach, and then also being a coach yourself, when you approach something, and I hate to use the terminology because it's usually deemed so negative, but, you know, I don't see it as negative, but when you run into, say, a failure or an obstacle, do you find it easier now to, you know, overtake that or move through or see the opportunity with having a mindset coach?
Yeah, definitely. So in the past, I had, like you said before about ego, I had a bit too much ego and emotion involved in my business. And really in business, you need to take the emotion out of it. And that doesn't mean you're not going to be emotional at all. We're not robots. Like, we all have emotions. But if you look at things logically, you look at the numbers, you look at the facts, instead of getting emotional and attaching whatever to situations, you're able to look at it objectively and be able to move forward. And an example of that is just this week, actually, I had 6 people say that they wanted to cancel or downgrade their membership just in the last 2 days. And so in the past, I would have looked at that and gone, oh, what have I done wrong? I'm not good enough. I need to give more value or whatever else, like put it all on myself. But now I don't take that stuff personally. I know that they're at a stage in their life where they're struggling with something and they can't keep going, or maybe they don't need my help anymore or whatever's going on for them. And they're usually in stress and they can't deal with moving forward. But I don't take it on as a personal thing anymore. And instead of going, oh, damn, I'm not making as much money now, or I'm going to have a small month because I've had all these people drop off, I think I turn it around into a positive, and I think, okay, well, I've had 6 people give their notice. How can I then find 6 more people? And so just by having that mindset, yesterday I brought on 3 new people, and I've got other people that are booked in calls with me or that I'm following up at the moment, that there's going to be those 6 sales within the next week easily. And so it's about, you know, a lot of people, they have an obstacle or something that happens in their life that they stress out about, the car motor broken down or clients drop off or they've got less money this month, got all these bills to pay or whatever. And so they think, oh, I've got to shrink back. What can I cut back on? How can I save money? How can I become smaller, essentially? When in business, you shouldn't do that. Yes, if you're working like a corporate job or whatever, you've only got a certain amount of money a week. That's your lifestyle. That's your situation. But as an entrepreneur, there's an abundance of money and there's an abundance of opportunities out there. And if something happens where you've got to pay a heap of extra money or something happens like that, you think about, well, how can I bring in more money? What do I need to do to step it up and keep moving forward instead of shrinking back?
Absolutely, because, you know, right now, and especially over the last few years, you know, you've set a standard for yourself and your lifestyle, right? So you don't want to lose that. And I think Yeah, Robert Kiyosaki put it best. He said, never shrink your expenses, always grow your revenue. You know?
Yeah, cool.
So, you don't want to bring yourself down, because would you agree that if you do that, you're damaging your mindset so bad, because now you're putting yourself back in this little box, and you know, you're kind of attracting more of that to you. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. And when you do that in your own life, you're going to find your clients do that as well. Your clients want to drop off or cancel all the time, or they're not doing the work or whatever. Whereas if you step up as a leader and you be the person that you need to be and overcome your obstacles, then you're able to do that and teach others how to do that as well. I had a client just yesterday, for example, that had a big bill that he had to pay. It's like $2,000. And he was stressing out, saying, oh, I've got to cancel. And he was in a really bad mindset. And so I spoke to him about that. And I said, look, you've got two options. You can just, like the story I just told you guys, you can shrink or you can grow. It's pretty crappy situation that you're in, but I know you can do this, and you can decide to move forwards right now and get yourself out of this place. I said, use this as a positive lesson. It's good that this $2,000 expense has come up, because that means that you have the opportunity now to really step up and make more money, and make more money very fast, and change your situation.
Absolutely.
Love it. So, really, yeah, it's always great here, Ellie. It's like we typically, the two of us are fighting over who's going to say the question next. So we don't want to beat you up with questions all at once. This is really, really cool. I like exposing a lot more of the mindset when it comes to business, because there's a lot of people out there that have started a business and they become frustrated, and that the first sign of adversity, you know, for instance, as a personal trainer, clients dropping off, or even something as self-publishing when their books aren't selling as well, you know, they're immediately saying, well, gosh, I got to go back to a 9-to-5 job. When does it get to a point to where maybe a person has exhausted all options and maybe their mindset isn't switching? What should a person do? When do they know they got to return to a job? And is that an option?
I think it shouldn't be an option. I think there should never be any plan B. You need to know 100%, like you need to have 100% belief in yourself that you will never give up. And I know that for myself. I know that I will never go backwards. I know that I'm unemployable. Like no one, I used to have so many different jobs, and I don't like people telling me what to do. So I like to make my own rules, and I could never work for anyone else. And yeah, I think there's been times where it's been tempting in the past, but I knew deep down 100% that I would never give up. And I think to be able to do that, it's important to have a supportive environment of other like-minded people, other people who are in business, to have your back. Also to have a coach or a mentor to help you through and believe in you when you're maybe not believing in yourself. I think you need to know that you will never give up and you'll do whatever it takes. Because if that's an option in the back of your head, then you're going to take it when things get tough. And business isn't a straight kind of line going up all the time. There's going to be ups and downs all the time. And it's just consistent action with the actions that you're taking with marketing and sales and whatever else, but also consistently working on yourself that helps you to be able to move forward. And you might not get the results that you want that day. You might have a day where you're like, oh, I've done everything and I haven't made any sales or whatever. But, you know, the work that you put in every day, week, month ends up snowballing over time. And that's what I've really found in my business the last few months. The work that I've done over the last 5 years has got me to the stage where I'm at today. And things just flow easily and effortlessly now. But it wasn't always that way. And you've got to put in the hard work every single day to be able to get to the stage where it just happens.
Ellie, I got to tell you that I had to actually kind of stifle my excitement when you actually said that. I felt like flipping over my table, but then I realized my microphone's on. Yeah, you're definitely very motivational. I got a question for you in regards to, you've got an eloquent way of speaking, and you're very articulate. Where have you learned it from? Did you go to a class, or is it something you studied? And is there any of your favorite speakers?
I actually think that I'm not a lot of the time. I think sometimes I ramble on and I go off on tangents. I actually like people interviewing me because I stay on track a lot more than me just talking. And I'm also making sure, I don't know if you allow swearing on here, so I'm making sure I try not to swear.
Oh, you're fine.
You are definitely fine, so let it fly.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I get passionate and you just need to say a certain word. And if people that have said I'm not allowed to swear before, it's like, oh, I feel like I'm holding myself back and censoring myself. So
the way we look at it on this show and stuff is if people don't like the program, they can kind of change the channel. You know what I mean? So we're all about being real, raw, and just, you know,
awesome.
Yeah,
authentic.
So don't hold anything back.
Yeah, and, you know, that's my personality. I've always been real and open and honest in everything that I do. Before I even started my business, I probably share too much, but that's just who I am. I'm not going to change myself for anyone. I haven't really done any speaking courses or anything like that. I just take action and I put myself out there, and I find that I get better the more consistently I do things. I prefer speaking to writing, actually. I find it easier to get my message across. And I have done seminars and either online and offline speaking things as well. But I find anything that you practice you do consistently, you get better at. And I guess just to with people, I guess, did you want to know, like, people that I follow, or...
Yeah, for sure. Like, for instance, I love Tony Robbins. He's probably one of my favorite speakers. So what are some of your favorites? And don't be afraid to hold back. I mean, if you want to dominate the next 10 minutes, you go for it.
Yeah, cool. I guess I've just followed people on an online kind of basis. I love some names that people would know. I love Gary Vaynerchuk. I find him really motivating. I know that in saying that, though, he's all about the hustle. He's all about working crazy hours and not sleeping. I'm not about that. I used to be about that. But I found, just to build on what I was saying before, I guess, around the energy kind of thing, I found that the more that I build my energy and work on myself, the less I get burnt out and the more consistent I am and the more money I make. So I don't think that people need to hustle. I don't think you need to run yourself into the ground and sleep 3 hours a night to be successful. There's some people like Gary that's his life. He loves that. That's who he is. And if he changed that, he wouldn't be himself. So, yeah, totally be yourself. But if you get inspired by someone like that, it doesn't mean that there's no other ways to run a business. There's multiple ways to run a business. And what I found with myself is that I would get obsessed with my business and I'd kind of escape into my business and just be on this adrenaline high, especially when things were going well. But then I'd take on so much and I'd burn myself out and I'd have this 2-week cycle where I'd be go, go, go for 2 weeks. And then I'd have a week where I wasn't able to do as much because I'd be burnt out. And I was perpetuating this cycle for the last year or so and probably even before that. And it's only been recently where I've been able to actually step back from my business, take days off, realize I don't have to be on all the time. And it's kind of scary because I realized why I was doing that. I was escaping into my business because of personal issues. And by creating space, it's made me realize that I had to deal with my shit, like my own personal stuff, childhood stuff, stuff with my partner. And that's scary. And it's been a real emotional journey, especially the last couple of weeks in particular. But I'm moving forward now, and it's allowed me to expand and grow within myself, my business, and also my relationships. And it's creating that energy in that space brings on more opportunities and more money for me. For example, I was in Hawaii, like I said before, for 2 weeks. I went by myself without my kids and partner, which was amazing. I didn't want to come home.
Can't say blame you.
Wow.
Because I was living my perfect day every single day. And whenever I travel, I make more money. And so I love Hawaii. It's like my perfect place. I've been there 3 times in the last 16 months. I stayed with one of my friends who's from there. I went to a three-day business retreat, which was awesome. And then the rest of the time, I was just going on, like, I went to a zip line, I went on a submarine, I was laying on Waikiki sunbaking, making sales over Facebook chat. And I made, within a week, I made 56 grand in total sales. Last month, I did, so this isn't cash in the bank, but this is like total sales. I did 86,500 last month. And half the month, I was literally laying on the beach just chilling out. So that was because I created that space. I created space and energy for me to bring more in. And when I'm traveling, I just work a few hours a day and I get the most important things done so I can spend the rest of the day exploring and having fun and just chilling out. And so, yeah, it was my most successful month ever. I had an amazing month. But yeah, like I said, it brought up a lot of stuff that I have to deal with, but you know, even though it's hard and it hurts dealing with personal stuff, it actually allows you to grow and to be able to move forward. And I guess, getting back to people like, so Gary V, for example, he's amazing and really inspiring. But yeah, you can run a business in different ways. Other people that I follow, when I first started out, I read a lot of Dan Kennedy's stuff, a lot of his books. Tony Robbins is awesome, of course, as well. I'm trying to think of other ones. Like my mindset coach, his name is Matt Catling, and he's helped me so much. He does a lot of different personal development events, and he's who I did my NLP course through. And then there's someone on the tip of my tongue, but I can't even remember. Oh, Garrett White. Do you guys know Garrett White?
Yes, the Warrior Project.
Pardon?
Yeah, say that again, Kevin.
Yes.
Did you say Garrett White?
Yes, yeah.
Are you talking about the Warrior Project?
Yeah.
Yes, love that guy. Love him. He's pretty intense, but, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good energy, yeah.
Yeah, I love him. So I love his podcast. When I was in a stage in my business where I was feeling unmotivated or lacking inspiration, I would listen to his podcast. I get really pumped up, and then I just create. And I've followed a guy called Paul Mort, who his mentor is Garrett. I followed him for a few years, and I've learned a lot of stuff about email marketing from him and around mindset as well. So he's really helped me with that side of things. And I'm very masculine. I'm not a typical female. So I'm very attracted to like full on male kind of energy. And I've always had more guy friends, and mentors have always been male. So I love that kind of like full-on energy. It really inspires me.
You've got a something that you were, you know, you kind of rabbit trailed on, which that's so awesome. Like the two of us always rabbit trail anytime we're talking, Kevin and I. But you kind of rabbit trailed on something really cool when it came to Gary V, which, by the way, that guy's fucking awesome. I love Gary V. He speaks directly to me, and see, you know, I can condense a lot of my schedule, but I've got an obsessive type personality, and I like that hustle type mentality, because that's just the way I've always been. Even going back to when I was a kid, I would play a video game for hours on end, and next thing I know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've got to be up in a few hours. So it seems to have transferred over into my adult life. So that's kind of the pace that I do. So I always tell people, it's not for everybody. You know, my wife is not going to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning hustling her ass off, because she does not function well without sleep or food. So for me, I could do without either one of them, just keep going. But I love how you touched on something, and hopefully maybe I can kind of come back around to it. You've heard of Tim Ferriss, right?
Yeah.
The 4-Hour Work Week. And that's actually a book. If nobody's had a chance, go check it out. Here's a nice little shameless self-plug. Go into the Amazon link, look up the 4-Hour Work Week and buy it. So it's a wonderful book. So I can see how that kind of aligns up there. That was really shameless right there. Sorry, Kevin. Hopefully I didn't embarrass you. But,
no,
you know, Ellie, So, you know, tell us a little bit about the 4-hour work week, and I think you kind of covered a little bit, but, you know, give us a basic synopsis of that.
Yeah, so I actually didn't like the 4-hour work week. I read a bit of it, but I couldn't get into it. I follow him online, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, but he created a series, a TV series recently, which is about learning a skill very, very fast. Have you?
No, I haven't checked it out myself. I was kind of like you, where the 4-hour work week was pretty good, but unfortunately it just wasn't speaking to me as far as I like hustling. That's just me.
Yeah. So I guess what I've learned about myself over the years in business is you don't have to be one extreme or the other. And so I am very much, I do have like a very addictive kind of personality like you, where I'm just all or nothing. And I've been like that with alcohol and drugs in the past when I was younger. I've been like it in relationships. I've been like it in business, in binge watching like shows on Netflix all night with food. I was an emotional eater and binge eater in the past as well. So I've done it with lots of different areas of my life. And I realized that I'm kind of in the middle now. Like I'm never going to change that about my personality. I do like the hustle, but if you do that every day, it just leads to burnout. And, you know, some nights you can get 3 hours sleep, or you can be making sales at 3 a.m. over Facebook chat like I was in Hawaii because I was spending most of my day just chilling out. Sometimes you need to work 10-hour or 20-hour days or whatever it is. But if you do that every single day, it just leads to burning out, to not eating well, to not having connection with yourself and with your relationships, to just getting injured or sick. And so I think, yeah, it's important to realize when you need to hustle, but then also to realize that you can create an awesome lifestyle where you can take days off or chill out and look after yourself as well.
Damn it, Ellie. You know what you just did? You actually gave some information to my wife, and now she's going to use it against me.
Dale's going to be on the 4-hour work week.
Yeah, going to have to move my way over from, yeah, instead of the 4-hour sleep week, I have got the 4-hour work week ahead of me.
Nice.
Yeah, and I've changed my business now, so I only work 3 or 4 days a week. I've scheduled my week around what I do. So, for example, I've got all my coaching calls and sales calls in 2 days a week now. So it's 2 full-on days, but I get really in flow and I get really passionate doing that. And then the rest of the week, I have 1 or 2 days with my admin assistant where we go through, okay, what are the next steps? How can we expand? I create content. I get things done like planning and things around the business. And then my rest of the time can be spent with my kids, with my partner, having date days. I mentioned before I compete in powerlifting at a national level as well. So wow. I've actually got a competition tomorrow where I'm, after this interview, I'm going to weigh in actually. And then, I've got comp tomorrow. So that takes a lot of my time and energy. I'm training like up to 15 hours a week, including travel time. So I've got a lot of different aspects of my life. And like I said, I find when I have those different things going on in my life, it helps me to be more inspired and have more energy and feel more motivated to bring more in into my business as well.
Wow. You know, Ellie, I hate to ask this right now just because this is our first time ever really talking to you, but would there be a chance that we could have you on again?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, awesome, awesome. And just, you know, we could spend hours on this just talking. I love your energy for sure. If anybody were to want to get a hold of you, I mean, where can they do that at? Can you share that?
Yeah, sure. So I can shoot you through some links as well if you want later on. But on Facebook, on Facebook. Yeah, I'm mainly on Facebook, really. So my business page is Ellie Bursko, PT Mentoring. So, yeah, that's my business page on there. I also have a free group on Facebook that has about 450 people in, which is called the Community of Kick-Ass Action Takers. So that's a cool free group. I also have a podcast on SoundCloud. It's on SoundCloud and iTunes as well. So yeah, there's lots of different places. I'm mainly on Facebook though. That's how I built most of my business really as well, is connecting with people, building relationships through Facebook.
Wow. Okay. Now the free community of kick-ass risk takers. Did I get that?
Action takers.
I just added myself over to that. So hopefully you accept me. Because I'm a kick-ass action taker.
Very nice.
Yeah.
You know, it has definitely been a pleasure, and I always hate this time, don't you, Dale? You know, we're kind of winding down to the hour and stuff, but we definitely need to keep together. I want to bring you on and actually have some specialized episodes, not so much just business talk, but maybe some mindset. Does that sound like something we could do?
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome.
Okay. Well, Dale, do you have anything else for Ellie?
No. Good luck in your powerlifting competition and your weigh-in today. Go kick ass. That's what you got to do.
I know I'm underweight. I haven't eaten or drank anything all day since yesterday afternoon. So
oh, boy.
With all this emotional stuff going on, I ate a couple of kilos, and then I was like, oh, crap, I'm overweight now. So, yeah. But, you know, like even powerlifting as well has taught me to be not just physically tough, but mentally tough. And that's helped me with my business as well. Like tomorrow, I'm hoping to get a 364 pound deadlift, for example. And so, yeah. And my squat, for example, I want to be 320 pounds. Which when I started 2 years ago, my squat was only 120 pounds. So it's like I've tripled my squat pretty much. And that's just taught me just so much focus and mental toughness, which has then applied to other areas in my life as well. So I love it. It's awesome.
Excellent. Wow. Very good. Yeah. Well, go ahead, Kevin.
Oh, go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say thank you, Ellie. I really do appreciate you taking the time and the energy. We're going to wish you luck, and we're going to see you to the door, and we're going to say our final words here in the show. So thank you very much, Ellie.
Awesome. Thank you.
Take care now. So you're still there, right, Kevin? I haven't disconnected you, right?
No, I'm still here, buddy.
Yeah, very, very good, man. Ellie, what a tremendous guest. We've had some great guests so far, but I had so much fun, and I think that it was funny. I'm jotting down notes, and I'm putting down questions, and the funny thing is, as soon as I would want to get to a question, she would uncover something else, and so it was amazing. We probably could have easily expanded this into 2 hours, but what I've discovered is, you know, if we put too long of an episode, we're going to end up having to break it up into two pieces. But that's going to be the nice thing. As soon as we do migrate off of Blog Talk Radio and we put ourselves over into SoundCloud, plug, we'll be able to separate those episodes and we can start to expand on some of those things. And if we actually have a part one and two, that'll be okay. And that'll actually draw some of you guys back in so you can hear some more of what Elliot had to say. But, you know, in this instance, you know, I kind of had to ratchet it down. We had to kind of keep it within our hour constraints. And I knew that we had to kind of talk a little bit about the direction that we're going in. So what are your thoughts on the interview that we've had so far, buddy?
The interview tonight or overall guests?
Just this interview today.
I mean, honestly, this is something where, I was being honest with her. I mean, we could sit and talk for hours. This interests me because it's the power of the mind, truly. I mean, obviously, that she made a decision in her mind that, hey, we're not going to be living like this anymore. She didn't let the fact that she had to walk ride a bike or run to get to school to learn, you know, her trade or whatever she was doing, she made up her mind that she was going to do it, and she did it. Same with her business. So that mind, overcoming that mindset, very powerful, man. And the simple fact that, you know, along the way, she's learned all these different, kind of ran into these all different roadblocks, failures, if you will, you know what I mean? And she, it didn't stop her. She found a way around it. She knows what her end goal is, and she just moves in that direction no matter what. So, you know, it kind of got me pumped up. I don't know about you, but I was feeling a little pumped up from this.
Yeah, she's just awesome, and that's something that really spoke directly to me is the fact that, you know, you just can't throw in the towel the first sign of adversity, and sometimes, you know you're going to have to look at something in a different angle. If you're not successful, then there's good reason because you're not doing it right, whatever you're doing in your business. So if you're not doing good book sales, you know, for instance, you and I kind of talked about this in our book more recently, Fail to Succeed. And I'm going to expose this to everybody. You know, Kevin and I, we want to see this book being successful. And to a certain extent, we expected it to be successful, but unfortunately, it hasn't done as well as it should. Although, you can get yourself a copy at fail.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. Once again, that's fail.bootstrapbusinessmen.com of a copy of Fail to Succeed if you want to get that. So what we had to do is we had to, you know, figure out why aren't people buying this, okay? Obviously, we're not a wildly successful podcast at this point. Unless you're listening to this 5 years from now, at this point, hey, awesome. Hopefully, we've become friends and you're carrying me around on my chariot. just kidding. It was a joke. But you and I had to kind of analyze things. And what we did was we analyzed, okay, well, why isn't this book doing well? Why isn't it selling? Why aren't people looking at it? Well, we had to figure out, well, what was wrong? Okay. Because obviously everybody else isn't wrong and we're right. Okay. That's just not true. Because if you start to look at your business and you approach your business that way, that everybody else is wrong or something else is wrong, and you're blaming something else, you will fail. You will lose, and you will lose hard and bad. So the two of us said, okay, we got to figure out the title, the subtitle, the cover, the book description. Are all those things in check? So the two of us actually analyzed that. We're repackaging it. We're putting together a different cover. We're putting together a different subtitle, and we're going to probably fine-tune a few things to see if it will work better. Because obviously, if it's not working, fix it. That's just that
simple. You
gotta
fix it.
You know, it's just, it comes down to it. You know, when you're sitting there letting your ego say, well, this is awesome. Everybody should take it this way. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It isn't. You know, and it was a business model that I was unfortunately taking last year when I was kind of going, well, I would blame the market at a certain time. Well, I would say in groups, I would say, hey, is everybody else not getting sales lately? And some people will be like, yeah, well of course people are going to come out and say that. You're going to find these other people that aren't selling books. Well, guess what? There's other people that are wildly successful. And they're not just people that are Tony Robbins or Steve Scott, for that matter. They're you know, people that are going to be successful no matter what, because what they did was they stopped blaming people for their setbacks and their adversities, and they started to figure out, how do I make myself successful? So, man, that's what got me so amped up when Ellie said it. I was like, fuck yeah. And I was getting ready to flip my table, and I was like, wait, hang on, my Mac and my expensive microphone are on top of the desk. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I got really excited, too, when she said, you know, when you were like, you know, when should a person give up and go back to a job? And she's like, never. You know, I was like, yes. That got me excited because, you know, we had an episode, man, and it hasn't been that long ago, where we talked about plan A versus plan B and how you should be all in. You know, when
burn
you make your decision, you burn the boats, you know what I mean? When you make a decision, you make that decision. And she answered that beautifully. Mm-hmm. She's like, absolutely not. And I feel the same way. I couldn't work for anybody else, man. They wouldn't want me to be there. You know, I would not be a good functioning employee for them, you know? So, I'd be trying to run the place first and foremost, because, you know, that's what we do, right? We run our businesses, but yeah, I mean, there is absolutely no way, I could do that, you know? And she just said it just great. You know, that got me pumped up, man. Like, no way. You make a decision, you stick with it, and no, it's 100% you make your way. So,
man, I tell you what, we could probably drag this out for so long. I know that,
yeah.
You know, it, one of the catalysts that actually, and this is just me kind of wrapping up before we go into our show close, you know, one of the catalysts that drove me to doing self-publishing, okay, obviously there was a why. The why I did was I wanted to be around my wife. I wanted to be around my wife and my cat, and I wanted to just, I love her. I love her more than anything in the entire world. You could take everything away from me. You can take away my computer. You can take away my technology. But if you take my wife away from me, I'm a shell of a person because I feel more complete with her around. So that was my why. But my catalyst, my reason that pushed me out of a 9-to-5 job were sometimes the complex personalities that were involved in the workplace. That's my way of saying there were some fucking assholes. There were some people that I just did not gel well with. And that's what really pushed me out. So, yeah, you're right. You know, you can go return to a job, but guess what? You're going to return to those same things that maybe you're wanting to leave a job for. Okay. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're saying to yourself, oh, I'm so sick of my job, blah, blah, blah. Well, make a change. Today's the day. You're going to get a piece of paper out and you're going to get a pen and you're going to start to write down some ideas about the business you're going to start today. Not tomorrow, not someday, not
today.
Soon, now.
Absolutely, man. I, you know, dude, you're getting me all juiced up here. Yes, make the damn decision and do it today. Don't start writing a 30-day action plan. Do it today. Just get it. Just get your momentum. Get your ass off the couch and get moving. How about that? Let's just put it simple, man.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's something very simple here, man. Is what people can do is if you need a little bit of inspiration, you need a little bit of a small checklist. You can go over to free.bootstrapbusinessman.com and grab a free report of our 8 secrets to turn your hobby into a business. It's a very simple report. All you need to do is just enter your email. We'll be able to send it on over to you. No tricks, no underhanded tactics. We just send you a good report. It's going to give you a small checklist that you can kind of figure out how you can switch your hobby into a business. So, hey, there's no limitations because if there's video game athletes, that's right, they call them, you know, these gamers, athletes, okay? If they're making a living, there's guys making 6 figures doing competitions as video gamers. If they can do it, by God, you can do it. So whatever you're going to plan on doing, we can be able to give you a small checklist if you just go over to free.bootstrapbusinessman.com.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. Dale, we've got to have her on. You know, I want to actually have I want to do a show where we have 2 guests on at the same time.
that'll be a mess, man. Hey, hey, Kevin. Kevin.
Yeah.
Show close, yeah. Buddy. Show close.
Oh, man. Is it that time already, man?
Yes.
Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. I was just kind of pulling Dale's leg there. That would just be a complete nightmare to have two people on at the same time. But anyway, thanks for listening. Guys, you can find us over at SoundCloud. Just type in Bootstrap Businessmen. We've already got a playlist running over there, so go ahead, click the follow button, like button. You know, you can download the app to your phone, so you can listen to us on the go, which is really cool. And also find us over on Stitcher. Just Stitcher.com, type in Bootstrap Businessmen. Again, you can download the app and take it with you on the go. So if you're at the gym and you want to listen to one of our shows, you're going to be able to do that. You're not going to have to sit behind a computer or log into, you know, or use your phone and make a long-distance call or anything like that. But then also, guys, again, you know, if you're doing any shopping tonight, I know you are, and I know you're going to do some tomorrow. So there's a link in our show notes. Just take that little link, copy-paste it, bookmark it up in your browser, and use that when you go to shop at Amazon.com. The reason why is because every time you purchase something there, a little percentage comes back to us, helps cover this overhead cost so we can keep bringing you all of these guests. And so far, we're bringing them in from around the world in every walk of life, any business that you can think of. We've got some pro athletes coming up very soon too, Dale. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, guys, you got to follow us. We've given you all the avenues to do so. You know, just stay tuned. We're bringing some inspiration from, you know, it's going to be some of the craziest places, but it's inspiration nonetheless. But that's all I got, man.
Excellent. Very good. Hey, folks, thank you very much for tuning in. And you may want to stay close to us on social media because we're going to give you some more instructions about our next shows and where they're going to appear at. Unfortunately, we will not be here on Blog Talk Radio past today. We may use it once in a while for quick promos, but for the most part, you're going to have to go to show.bootstrapbusinessmen.com. On behalf of Bootstrap Businessmen, Dale, my buddy Kevin, thank you for tuning in.
Have a good night, guys.